Chapter 1, The Collector, Meinhort, 600 SMC. The sound of skin tightening was deafening as Ianto sat at his table. Tapping the fingers of his right hand against the wood, he shifted in his seat. He clutched the handle of a mug in his left hand so tightly that his knuckles whitened. His skin stretching fell secondary to the sound of a consistent ticking. But Ianto looked beyond the pocket watch before him, and at the rest of the bar. Salim's master castle offered the cheapest bed in Burrow's Brawn, but the only truth to the name was that old Salim owned it. In her late 50s, she was a terrifying woman whose prices nearly made the brothels seem like an affordable choice, if only they didn't charge by the hour. He watched as a group of seasoned silencers clashed mugs with a few of the Order's guard, inviting them to their table, laughter following shortly after. In most cities, the two groups would show each other respect, but keep their distance otherwise. Things were different in Burrow's Brawn. Anyone unlucky enough to be stationed here made whatever friends they could, an attempt to find solace in a city filled with too much crime, and more than enough death. Old Salim made more of a bark than an intelligible call, and her daughter Viola emerged. She stood tall in a beautiful turquoise dress, her long brown hair braided atop her head in the shape of a crown. Her emerald eyes shining vibrantly as she approached the violin set against a stool on the center stage. Some of the men in the bar called out to her and feigned at trying to grab the edge of her dress as it flowed behind her. She responded a glare that rivaled her mother's. In her late teens, it was no secret that Viola would have preferred not to play for the audience the inn offered, but her mother would never hear of it. She reveled in the crowd of customers it brought through the door. None of the calls came after she picked up the violin, and her scowl quickly dropped. No matter how much she might protest offstage, when the violin was in her hands, Ianto saw her change. Setting the bass under her chin, she brought the bow to strings and started to play. With the bass touching her heart-shaped face, she looked akin to the saint of love. Old Salim simply nodded to her daughter in approval, a small smile creeping over her face as the bar was filled with a sweet melody. The music slowly warmed its phantom hands over the patrons, shifting their moods. Ianto enjoyed the people enough, finding their company a refreshing relief from the ever-status-hungry people of Sitar. But no matter how much she enjoyed the simple life lived by those in Burrow's Brawn, he should not have been here. He should have been in his own city, doing some final preparations for next week's election. But instead, he found himself in Salim's shady inn, trying his best to convince himself that the ale was safe to drink, unaware of why he was there in the first place. His eyes fell from the people into the pocket watch in front of him. Ianto stared at it intently. It had something to do with him being here, but for the life of him, he had no idea what. He felt like he had once known its significance, but had long since forgotten, like waking from a dream and remembering only that he had dreamt. The pocket watch mocked him as he stared it down, taking a swig from his mug. He blinked before the watch did. Ever since the timepiece had fallen into his hands, he had another memory that escaped him. It had never stopped ticking. It nearly drove Ianto mad with curiosity as he tried to sort out the mechanism that kept it going for 5 years. Without the spring ever once needing a twist. But after all of that time, it suddenly stopped. Upon hearing the last click of the watch, he found himself drawn to the SMC. It was not the first time he had done something for unconscious reasons. At that thought, he felt a phantom itch outline the words that were sunk into his flesh. He had kept himself from ever using them, save a few accidents, but never ceased to feel them. Nor did he remember why or when he had gotten them. Why has it finally stopped, after all this time? He thought aloud. The piercing shriek of wood scraping over wood rang out sharply, and Ianto felt the vibrations through the floorboards as the chair before him was dragged back. It would have grabbed his attention fully had he not been entranced by the watch. "I think I can help you with that," a familiar voice said as a man sat before him. The voice struck him harder than the times Viola's steady hand failed and sent a discordant note screeching through the bar. It was as if every memory that was out of his reach was wrapped tightly in a bundle, and the man's voice was pulling the first string, starting to unravel the knot. Ianto finally looked up from the pocket watch, and his face bleached. He took in the details of the predator before him. His long face and the grin that stretched its way from ear to ear made him look like a lion as he considered Ianto, hungrily. His hair, which was short and meticulously kept, his near-perfectly set nose, and the twinkle in his eyes all worked to combat the rest of his presence. Ianto felt himself pulled into the siren's trance as memories came rushing back. "Malice," he said finally. The word felt thick and heavy, coming out in a curse. Malice sat back and shifted himself, his smile seeming to grow impossibly larger. "You remember," the man responded. Fear shot through him as the man reached into the folds of his robe. The fear cemented as Malice produced a nearly identical pocket watch. As he set the watch down, Ianto caught sight of the silver ring that he wore, a W staring back at him. It was the same image that had plagued him whenever he thought of the pocket watch's origin. "Why did you keep this from me?" Ianto asked finally, after a moment of silence passed between the two of them. Malice stared back at him curiously as his hands returned to the folds of his robe, producing a leather pouch and a beautifully worked cherry wood pipe. Opening the leather pouch, he reached in with his fingers and pinched a small chunk of tobacco in them. He packed the chunk into the pipe and withdrew a small wooden box, flipping the clasp with gentle fingers. On one side of the box was a bundle of single-point toothpicks, while the other side held 2 dozen matchsticks. Matchsticks were a rarity, and very hard to come by. The best trees for making them only grew in the silent forest, and very few were willing to travel there, simply for the aspens. Obtaining the wood alone was not enough, for they still required a skilled hand to make them, and cost a hefty price. The man lifted one of the matchsticks from the box and gripped it in his hand towards the center of the stick. Sliding his thumb up the smooth wood, his nail met with the glob of chemicals at the end and struck, setting the tip erupting into flame. A sweet and sour smell filled the air for a moment, before it was devoured by the smell of burning wood. Malice brought the match over the bowl of his pipe and brought the stem to his mouth. Taking long, slow pulls from the pipe, he moved the match back and forth, giving it an even burn. After a healthy ember flared in the bowl, Malice flicked his hand, smothering the flame of the matchstick, and set it on the table. He took a long pull, exhaling through his nose and smiling contently. The enchanted wood cut from the silent forest hummed as the pipe warmed. "Because," Malice said finally, "you wanted it this way, Ianto. You begged me, pleaded, to have your memory taken, to live your last 5 years as if you would live forever." Anger rose inside of Ianto, the words Malice said cutting through him as he remembered pieces of every interaction they had, finally. "I wasn't thinking at the time. I didn't understand what I was doing. You knew this, and still you made the deal," Ianto said as he leveled a finger at the man's face. Malice cocked his head and stared him down until he finally lowered his finger. "I need more time," he pleaded, defeatedly. "I have already given you more than I have given anyone since," Malice said, smoke following the words out of his mouth. "You were my first 5 years ago. All that I had to offer you was a cure at the time, and fortune later. You made the deal, Ianto, and I have more than held up my end of the bargain. It is time for you to do the same. My words will be cut from your flesh, and your family will be set for life." Again, the phantom itch returned at the mention of the words. "I didn't know what I was agreeing to," he said again. Malice stared at him, and this time, there was a danger lurking that dwarfed any before. "You knew exactly what you were agreeing to," Malice said as he pulled the stem from his mouth. "The decision was simply easier to make when your daughter's life hung in the balance," he said before plucking a toothpick free from the box. "You've done me a great service these last 5 years," the predator said as he stood and pocketed the box and the pouch, clutching the pipe in his hand. He looked down at the toothpick and back at Ianto. I expected more of you. Bianto watched as the man left and felt the fresh memory slowly fading away. For a moment, he realized it was happening how it always had. As Malice left, Bianto could hear the music once more. Time passed, and he tried to hold on to the memories, but one by one they slipped. Soon, he sat there and stared at Viola as she played, unaware of why he was there, trying to convince himself that the ale was safe to drink.
It is time, Bianto.
The voice called him from his thoughts and he looked up, fear turning him white again as a new layer of memories was unraveled. The Nightwalker stood tall before him. His amber eyes, like the raging flames of a burning fire, drew his attention first. The demon wore a black hood, its shadow covering all else but the sharp-toothed grin and the toothpick that hung out of his teeth. Bianto didn't need to verify that it was the same Malice that sat on the table. The rest of the monster was nothing but a blackened silhouette, and a constant flux between the form of a robe and a cloud of shadows. Bianto's breathing quickened and he felt his chest tightening. The words that scarred his body tingled in response to the Nightwalker's magic. He could almost hear the words rearing to lash out, but knew it was suicide. Bianto focused his breathing and calmed himself, staring forward, accepting what was before him. Bishop, he said finally. The monster nodded. Screaming would have been futile, for he knew he was the only person who could see the creature before him, and the Nightwalker the only one who could see him. The distraction the violin had caused made it easier for the Stalker's illusions to seed. Can I at least say goodbye to my daughter, he asked, as the severity of the moment finally sunk in.
It would be better that you did not.
The Nightwalker responded, globes of fire unblinking as he stared back.
You would do well to let her mourn you without blaming herself.
The beast voice carried with it a deep vibrato that calmed Bianto despite his disposition. The Nightwalker took a step back and raised his arm slowly into the air. Shadows began coagulating beneath the table, and wisps broke off and slithered their way up the legs, engulfing the table in darkness. The shadows stilled for a moment before shooting outward and consuming Bianto. He awoke in darkness, unaware of how long had transpired since his encounter with the Nightwalker. He could still remember it, so at least he knew it had not been too long. He tried to move his limbs, testing the surroundings, and found that he was bound to a chair in leather straps. Bianto hung his head in defeat. What did his memories matter if they made no difference? Again, he felt the words call out to him. Bianto had no want to use them, vowing that he would never use the wretched words that had been forced upon him. Most likely, it would make no difference if he used spoken writing, and his situation would stay the same. He felt the hum again and shook his head, cursing. They were relentless. Bianto could freshly remember the memories of the times he had accidentally used the words, and could nearly feel the ecstasy that had coursed through his system. Again, the words tempted him. It was almost comical. At this rate, he had no chance of becoming a Lakesy before the Nightwalker returned. Even then, he would have been a Kadagma, a fact that would have made the effort worthless. But the words seemed unaware of this, only concerned with one thing, preparing the host and trying to escape it. There was a loud clang as a metal bar was slid out of place, and the creak of hinges as the large iron door swung open, spilling light into the room. Bianto saw that he sat in a small storage room and could faintly hear the city above him. He was underground, stored away from help. The Nightwalker strode in, and this time, Bianto felt no sign that he was using magic and saw the man for what he truly was. The man's body, from his torso to his legs, seemed to be made entirely out of shadows. As he moved, they coalesced and became solid, forming his body, before dissipating the next moment and scattering into a dark mist. His left arm, from the elbow to the tips of his fingers, was made black and charred, like the coals of a dying fire. Bright red cracks cut through the black along his arm and hand, outlining the muscles and knuckles. A soft flame but vibrant fire coated his arm. Ianta was filled with awe at the sight. When most people fractured, there was no order to which words took most control. But the Nightwalker's body showed something different. It spoke of intent behind every moment the man used magic. The result made it so that the assassin was a formidable foe, even when he dropped his hold on spoken writing. Ianta was shocked to see that the man looked more like a balanced word than one of the fractured. Still, he was more word than man now, and had progressed far since the last time they had seen each other. It would have been sad to Ianto if it weren't for the monster's hand in his situation.
I truly wish you were an inksayer,
the Nightwalker said as he brought the tip of a blade into the flames burning from his hand, heating it. Why? Ianto demanded as he thrust himself against his bounds. What does it matter to you?
The deal was that we would take the words, not your life. I only wish it was possible for me to honor the specifics.
The creature's voice seemed to take on a tinge of sadness as he pulled the blade from the fire and held the red metal out before him. Will you tell my daughter that I love her? He asked, looking into the globes of fire.
She will know,
the Nightwalker said with a nod. Then get it over with, Ianto said finally, before gritting his teeth in preparation. The blade pressed against his flesh near the point of a word's tendril. Ianto screamed in pain and he felt the word of fire echo his sorrow. His fingers curled into fists and their nails dug into his skin. The smell of burning flesh started to replace the rest of Ianto's thoughts, even the feeling of blood flowing from his palms. He felt the sting of the blade edging closer to a tendril under his skin. Ianto felt tremors run through his body as he shook in his restraints. Both of his fists uncurled in an instant, and violent flames erupted in his hands. The leather restraints burned solid through, freeing his arms. The Nightwalker stumbled back in surprise, and Ianto quickly brought his hands up to his chest. The word push seized the opportunity and sent Bishop flying into the far wall, as energy blasted out from Ianto's bleeding palms. The fractured bastard slammed the back of his head against the wall, stone cracking mildly behind him. Ianto struggled to summon more fire to burn the straps at his legs, and started to panic again as Bishop recovered from the shock. I just don't want to suffer, Ianto called out as the Nightwalker stood. Bishop drew both of his hands towards his chest quickly, energy rippling out from the point of contact. Shadows reached out from Ianto's feet, tendrils lashing at his arms, climbing their way up towards his hands, extinguishing the fire as they smothered it. Ianto found himself powerless and restrained.
That was the point of cutting your words first,
Bishop yelled, his booming voice echoing in the room as he picked up his blade. This time, he did not heed it. Bishop spoke as he walked.
As soon as any part of the connection is severed, death, instantly.
As the last word left his maw, the assassin drove the tip of the blade deep into Ianto's stomach.
But no matter, the illusions will help ease your pain. Say goodbye to your daughter now.
The last of the Nightwalker's words started to fall away and get quieter as Ianto's vision started to fill with black specks. He started to feel the buzz of his last word as the darkness took over half his vision. As his eyes started to close, he saw the face of a beautiful young girl come into view. Father? She asked as she crouched and came to sit next to him. I love you, Idris. I love you, Ianto said quietly as he lay his head in her lap and sobbed, breathing softly for the first time all night. I hope you all enjoyed that chapter. Check in next episode for chapter 2, Order's Guard. And as always, the song I used was Fluid Skate by Kevin McLeod and Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license at http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0.